Hello and welcome to another edition of the Scarlet Nation podcast. I'm Bobby Darin here for ScarletNation.com of the 24/7 Sports Network. We're here today talking some Rutgers basketball. Busy time. Transfer portal is open. Guys are coming. Guys are going. Getting recruits. The 2024-25 roster is starting to take shape. Rutgers has three transfer commits so far, two of which have already signed. It's official. Jordan Durkak of Merrimack was the latest. Tyson Acuff was right before him, came from Eastern Michigan. And Zach Martini from Princeton started it off. So a lot to talk about. Still a lot on the agenda for head coach Steve Peichel. But to help me sort it out, I brought my man Chris Sakonis on. And Chris, I know you talked to a lot of people close to Jordan Durkak, talked to him as well. This was a guy Rutgers targeted specifically. Steve Peichel's very direct with who he wants. What do you think they're getting in this guy? You know, 6'5 guard, was the NEC player of the year, NEC defensive player of the year, something that, you know, Peichel really likes. But in your opinion, talking to all these people, seeing him, what kind of player is Rutgers getting out of this kid?
Well, I think they're getting someone who, one, can, you know, really score, particularly on the interior. For all the talk of, you know, his three-point shot not quite getting up to, you know, the higher percentages I think a lot of fans want to see, this is someone who's very good at getting to the rim and finishing. Someone who, you know, was really trusted with the keys to that Merrimack offense last year. And he was able to go out and get points on a consistent basis. And on the defensive side, too, you know, Merrimack runs that zone defense. He did very well in that. He'd be playing, in all likelihood, more of a man look here at Rutgers. But he's someone who is very quickly been able to, grow into a high level defender. And he's someone who, you know, talking to his high school coach, Jose Rodriguez, really just a worker, the type of person who's, you know, first one in the gym, last one out, really the kind of person who, you know, just sort of lives and breathes basketball and wants to get better day in and day out. So I think that that is going to be something that's really important. I think that's going to be valuable. And also 6'5", and this is, you know, something that I think will help Rutgers compared to this past season. You know, a bigger guard, bigger guards who can go out and rebound, bigger guards that can, you know, have the size to match up better against opposing Big Ten guards. I really like a lot of what Durkak brings. I don't think he'll have quite as big of a role next year just because of, you know, who Rutgers has coming in. It looks like it's going to be the Dylan Harper, Jeremiah Williams show in the backcourt. And of course, you have Ace Bailey in the frontcourt getting plenty of shots. But I think Durkak, 2 years of eligibility left. So that's also something to keep in mind, too. This is someone who I think could get a much bigger role heading into next season.
Yeah, and I think you made an important point, too. He's got 2 years left, and, you know, with presumably Harper and Bailey being one and done, you still have to have something left for what lies beyond next season. You bring this kid in, and you know, Pike could run with, you know, multiple guard sets, and, you know, you've seen him really experiment with the lineup depending upon the matchups. And he's a kid that could play both ends of the floor. You know, some of what we saw last year from the Rutgers guards were atypical of what Steve Peichel likes to recruit and bring in. You just saw undersized guards, and they just weren't what you're used to seeing out of the Rutgers backcourt. That might have been a reason why things didn't go so smoothly last season, because he's got guys that are better fits. And, you know, it seems like this kid's really bought in on everything. And talking to him, I mean, he seems like he's a Peichel type guy down to the core.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is, you know, something else I think really appealed, to Rutgers through this process, is something that, you know, Steve Peichel has a certain mold of guys that he really likes to go after, right? It's non-negotiable for you to buy in and be really, you know, bought in on the defensive side. And, you know, having that size obviously helps a lot. And I think that, you know, in that aspect, he really fits a mold. I also think the other thing with him, too, is, and this is something Steve Peichel mentioned on his podcast with Jerry Recco, very high-level free throw shooter. Free throw shooting was an area where Rutgers struggled last year. And, you know, it has popped up at times over the course of the last few years, even when Rutgers, in terms of win-loss column, was doing a lot better. But I think that's going to be something that I think will help with him and really with everybody. Really high-level free throw shooting with this group coming in. And, yeah, I think that's going to be a big one.
Yeah, and You know, you haven't seen Pyke target a wide array of players. He, like I mentioned, he's very direct with who he goes after. One of those players was Tyson Acuff from Eastern Michigan. He also signed along with Zach Martini, so he's official. You know, eighth leading scorer in the country, 21.7 points per game last year, Chris. Just a scorer, another guy who brings a different element than what we've seen last year. And, you know, talking to people about him, what's kind of the buzz about, you know, this pickup?
Well, Acuff, you know, in some ways is similar to Durkac in the sense that he's very good at, you know, getting points on the inside. He's got, you know, a decent mid-range shot. And I think offensively, he's going to be a nice complement to what Rutgers has with Harper and Bailey. I think, you know, the interesting thing with him too is, of course, you got 4 years of experience. Really, again, you know, kind of like Durkac, had the keys to that Eastern Michigan offense last year. So I think that is a big one. And I think that, you know, having that experience of playing in college basketball is going to be very valuable. Again, Rutgers is bringing in five freshmen. Now, the bulk of those minutes are going to be, in all likelihood, among the three, Harper, Bailey, Somerville. But, you know, you still have, you know, you need guys who can sort of round out that experience. And you've got two guys that would have fit that role in Cliff Amore and Mawat Mag, obviously not coming back, along with the others who transferred out. You need experienced players in this era of college basketball. And I think that Acuff really helps in that regard. I also think that he's someone who I think Steve Pikel can get even more out of on the defensive side. So I like the pickup overall.
Yeah, and, you know, they're going to be here pretty quickly. June 15th, Pike said on that podcast with Jerry Recco, is the arrival date. I'm sure, you know, some of the high schools, whether it's a little before, a little after, might have some flexibility. But, you know, you're talking about less than, you know, in 2 months, these guys are on campus and starting their 8-week workout. So exciting times, you know, just a whole different feel, a whole different new element. And just three players left from last season. You mentioned Mawat Mag. Things have been quieter than probably his camp expected in the transfer portal. And you know, Cliff Amore is just, you know, visiting every places and what I'm hearing, he's just going to go to the highest bidder and take the money. So a lot of interest in him. Also, you know, they brought in Zach Martini, who we kind of touched on before. But this guy, Chris, seems like he's in the same mold of that Acuff, of that Durkac, guys who really want to buy into the program. And I think Steve Pike was really looking for some leadership because these are veteran guys who have played, who have been through it. And there's something to be said for that. You know, Aaron Bradshaw went into the portal from Kentucky, people were mentioning a possible Rutgers return. And I didn't even see it as a possibility just because of what Steve Pike was looking for in some experience, some guys who have done it, some veterans, and he didn't quite fit that mold. And the NLI is probably a lot higher than they would like for him anyway. But, you know, my point is he's very specific with these guys he's targeting and he's bringing in the experience, which you need with such a young core of players. So I expect that to continue. And you know, they're going to have to be a center, Chris. I mean, that's next up on the agenda with these two open spots.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to sort of state the obvious, that's, you know, priority number one. It really was going into this offseason, but, you know, other spots have been filled first, just the nature of the portal. But I think that's really the missing piece. That's sort of the one thing where I kind of want to wait and see, you know, where does Rutgers ultimately go before I make any definitive proclamations about where next season could go, what the ceiling is and all that fun stuff. Because that's a really important position, right? You can have, you know, all the guards you want that can score and get to the rim and do all these things. You can have Ace Bailey, and that's all well and good. But the fact is, you know, Latham Somerville, I really like his game. I think he's going to be a 15, max 20 minute a night guy as a freshman. You need a veteran big to complement that with him and Emmanuel Aboli. I think that's really the missing piece. Doesn't have to be someone with necessarily the flashiest stats. Right. We don't need necessarily someone. If you're Rutgers, you don't necessarily need someone who's averaging, you know, 15 and 10 or whatever. If you can get one, that's obviously great. But given the market for centers and how high it is, that might not be realistic. You need someone who can, you know, do a decent job protecting the rim. You need someone who can grab rebounds and, you know, need someone who can, you know, on occasion alter shots, block shots and do those things. And doesn't necessarily have to be a world beater. because you've got this great talent surrounding them. And I do think that if you have that, you know, I think that'll work really well. Won't need someone to, you know, go out and score a ton either, because you've got scores in other places.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought up Lathan Somerville, because he's a guy I want to talk about. You know, 6'9", and I'm looking at what you wrote about him this week: 26.3 points per game, 14.4 rebounds per game, 4.2 blocks per game, 4.1 assists per game, shooting 62% from two-point range and 48% from three-point range, 88% from the line. That's a hell of a stat line, Chris. I mean, this is a kid I think a lot of people are sleeping on, who could come in and really do some damage as a true freshman.
I think it's a good sign for you as a player if someone on the message boards reads your free throw shooting. I forget who posted this, forgive me, but read your free throw percentage and says, is that number accurate? Because, you know, that's a good compliment, 88%. You know, even if you go a couple points down from that, that's still really good, especially for a center. You know, so I think Somerville, again, he brings just a unique offensive skill set, really something that Rutgers hasn't had in a center in recent memory. It's always been more, you know, shot blocking, rim protection, rebounding, as important as that is. But this is someone who can, you know, not only score at the rim, but also, you know, sort of extend the floor a little bit. Now, I don't expect him to shoot 47% from three at Rutgers, because he's probably not gonna be taking a ton of threes. And, you know, that's not necessarily going to be where he's used the most, but he has the ability. We saw it, you know, when he was at Jersey Mike's Arena late December. He has that ability to, you know, hit the mid range and, you know, extend the floor. And that could open things up on the inside for other players, say, if they're cutting to the rim or doing those things. So I really like the skill set he's bringing in. I'm interested in seeing how he adapts defensively and, you know, goes up against some of these really imposing bigs that are in the Big Ten. So I think that if he can sort of adapt to that, you know, he could see more time sooner rather than later. I just have a hard time saying definitively this center is going to start in the Big Ten, because center is a really hard position to play as a true freshman in college basketball, especially nowadays when you've got fifth, sixth-year seniors at times going up against you. But I do think he could play a role. And, you know, long-term, I think he's got a really high ceiling sophomore, junior year. I think you could really see him blossom and be, you know, one of the best centers in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I like his skill set. And I think, you know, he'll come in June, and I think some of the initial work will be conditioning, getting his body into shape for playing in the Big Ten. But just really like what he brings to the table. And you know, we talk about beyond next season, because, you know, it would take an extraordinary set of circumstances to keep Bailey and Harbor for more than one season. But, you know, you look beyond that, and I think they have a bright future in Lathan Somerville. And, you know, Bailey and Harper, again, you know, finishing up their tours, McDonald's All-American game, you know, playing at the Nike Hoop Summit, just bringing a world of excitement into Rutgers.
I was going to say, this entire spring has been one long advertising campaign for Rutgers basketball. It feels like, just, you know, every week it feels like you're hearing Rutgers commits, you know, on ESPN, on FS1. It's good publicity for the program, I think. And it doesn't help. Of course, it helps that they're both, you know, really high level talents, guys that are going to come in. And I think both have an immediate impact. And, you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum here, Bobby, but this class really has potential to change the long-term trajectory of Rutgers basketball, take it to sort of a new level. Because if you can, you know, put together a nice run with this group, I think that's going to send a message to future recruits, you know, like the Trey McKennies of the world, the, you know, four-star top 100, top 150 guys. You're probably not going to get two of the top five guys in the class anytime soon, but that you don't necessarily have to be successful. But I think Rutgers could parlay this into, you know, really recruiting high-level talent moving forward if this works out the way that a lot of people around the program hope and think it'll work out.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris, Zach Martini mentioned him a little bit too. I want to just touch on him before we wrap this up. Another kid, Pikel, knew him, you know, at 10 points against Rutgers in Princeton's opening day win in that game in Trenton on a neutral court. Pikel knows him. He knows what he brings. He's steady forward. I think it kind of set the tone for this class. He's looking for those workman-like type guys who are ready to come in and be a little selfless, because, you know, everybody knows that that Ace and Dylan are going to command a lot of shots, and the attention is going to be on them. So I think it takes a certain type of player. And it seems to me like, you know, he kind of set the tone of what Pikel's bringing in for this transfer class, which, you know, expects to have two more. So it's going to be five guys coming in as transfers.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be an interesting thing too. You know, Zach Martini is a guy that, again, I think really fits that mold. You know, really a workman type kind of player, physical, a tough defender, someone who, you know, fits, I think, a very important need in that he can sort of sit in the corner on offense and, you know, take those catch and shoot three pointers. You know, he's got the best 3-point shooting percentage out of any of the transfers coming in so far. And it wouldn't shock me at all to see that being his primary role on offense. But Zach Martini is a guy that I think really fits that mold too. And he's not a guy that, you know, has really ever been like a primary scorer in terms of the offense ran through him, right? Even at Princeton, mm-hmm. he averaged 8.4 points a game, which is decent considering the shots he was getting and everything. But, you know, it's not like, you know, he was running the offense. But I think that's not necessarily a bad thing because it's a role that he's filled before, and it's a role that he'll be asked to fill again. And I think he can do it pretty well at a Big Ten level. He's not going to have to go out and take over games. Really, none of these transfers, I think, are, which is good because, you know, you've got the players who you are going to rely on in those situations already. Now you can focus on building out the rest of the team. It's a big contrast from last year when you had to replace your entire starting backcourt in the middle of the summer when most of the good players are out of the portal already.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting dynamic because you're going to have five transfers, five freshmen, and three returning players. The experience has to come into play because you look at these teams that make deeper runs in the tournament, and they're all experienced guys. It's tough to really win with a core of young players, and Kentucky put that on full display this year in the tournament. So, you know, still some exciting time left before Rutgers finishes this class out. And like I had mentioned previously, Chris, you know, less than 2 months, these guys will be on campus. It's going to be a very unique season because I don't think in all the years that I've covered the team, I've seen anything remotely like what we're going to expect with two probable NBA lottery picks there every night. I think the atmosphere is just going to be electric at Jersey Mike's Arena.
I don't know if there's a database, if someone, you know, at Rutgers has sort of kept like a tally of the highest like decibel levels in Jersey Mike's Arena in that building almost 50 years, but I'd have to imagine there's a good chance whatever the record is gets broken. The energy, the excitement, the anticipation, you know, we've had highly anticipated Rutgers seasons under Steve Pikel in the past with those Geo Baker, Ron Harper Jr. teams. But it feels like this has a potential to be something even beyond that. And I think that mm-hmm. that's really interesting and exciting. And I'd also say, you know, for Steve Pikel, the challenge now becomes, okay, you're more or less stringing together an entirely new team, right? Your last couple mm-hmm. pieces, you know, still have yet to come in. My guess is that probably happens in the next couple of weeks, but you've got three players coming back from last year. Two of whom didn't play until the last 12 games of the season, and Jeremiah Williams, Emmanuel Eboli, and also you got Jermichael right. Davis. You're going to have 9-10 guys coming in on scholarship who were not on the team last year. Don't think that's happened, you know, in recent memory with Rutgers basketball, at least. It's certainly, you know, a unique situation for a program that up until now has been built on continuity, on keeping guys through 4 or 5 years. So I'm really interested in seeing how Rutgers, you know, lives up to that challenge. And I think that's going to be really a big question is, you know, how long does it take this team to gel? Do they hit the ground running? Does it maybe take a couple of weeks, which isn't necessarily the end of the world? But I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch too. We are sort of in terra incognita as far as roster construction is concerned. And I think that is going to be a big question mark as this offseason continues.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fill out the roster, and then, you know, as the summer starts to progress, you'll start to see opponents being put on the slate. And I don't expect many, you know, top out-of-conference opponents in the beginning, maybe one or two decent teams. But, you know, Pikelets, and I think this year, Chris, it's important to let these guys gel and familiarize themselves with one another. Like you just mentioned, there is so little experience of these guys playing in Rutgers uniforms that I think it's going to be advantageous for them to get some, you know, for lack of a better term, cupcakes in the beginning of the game or beginning of the season, because you really want this team to start to unify and gel and understand each other. And I don't know if that happens if you're playing the Dukes or the Kentuckys of the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that might not necessarily be the end of the world if you're Rutgers, because look, I know everyone wants to see those high level matchups, you know, like an Ace Bailey Cooper flag one. I'm sure that the networks would love that. Maybe that does happen. I don't know. But you've got a young team. Again, to go back to my previous point, you're more or less stringing together an entire roster together on one off season. It might not be a bad idea to start on the easier side just to give guys a chance to gel and really know their roles, particularly when you have so many freshmen coming in. And then, you know, that could end up being better when Rutgers gets into Big Ten play later in the winter, as opposed to, you know, this trial by fire where, you know, they're playing, you know, preseason top 25 teams. You know, that might do more harm than good. So I'm interested in seeing what the schedule looks like. I do think Rutgers is a more appealing property for, you know, an ESPN or a Fox if they're looking to get like a marquee matchup on the on their schedules. You know, so that might change the calculus a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, I actually don't think that Rutgers has to do that, because if that team gels early in the season, I think you'll get more than enough Big Ten wins to make the tournament and potentially go farther than just making the tournament.
Yeah, good points. Good points. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it and appreciate everyone listening. You can converse with myself or Chris on the Roundtable message board. It's our VIP fan forum on scarletnation.com. We'll keep talking Rutgers basketball. It's an exciting time, a lot going on, and we'll do our best to keep you updated every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For Chris Sakotis, I'm Bobby Darin. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again.